think that maybe those of you that are in this section over here might want to move over or move back, or maybe you think I look better from the side. That'll be all right if you want to do that. We will be through in this class about the end of the second session, which means that those of you that are in here can go over if you would like to go in and get some refreshments, or you can leave and go on home. Or if you have children that you need to pick up, you can do whatever you want to and then be back in here when they assemble back together. We're going to be through in this session each night, probably after about 35 or 40 minutes. And tonight, since I'm talking, we may be through before that. It doesn't take me as long to tell what I know on most subjects as some people. And I work under a policy that when I get through, I quit. So if we get through early, we'll just quit. In fact, I don't know exactly what all we're going to do tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing what I say just as much as you are. And when we get through, we'll see where we have been. Now that's really interesting to you, isn't it? When we started planning this vacation Bible school, Mark Barber said, "I want you to be in charge of the adult classes." And I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "That means get somebody or teach it." Well, I have someone for tomorrow night and Tuesday night, and I had another one that was supposed to speak, and it fell through. Tomorrow night, Larry Oldham will be speaking, and on Tuesday night, David Sweeney will be speaking. Larry is working with our Bible school program and is involved in that way, and David Sweeney is working with our youth during the summer, and David preaches I think two Sundays a month somewhere else, but I think you'll enjoy hearing him. And then I probably will be speaking again on Wednesday night, unless I've got a fly after me tonight. He must be interested in something sweet. I don't know why he's up here. I thought you'd say you didn't know why he was up here. Anyway, if nothing happens, that's the schedule. Now let me tell you a little bit of what we have in mind. Our theme is seeking Jesus, seeking Christ, pathfinders. So we've put together some lessons that we hope will help the adults in that direction. Tonight I want to sort of talk in general at first about our relationship to Christ, and then I want to just take the Bible and look and see what we know about Christ as far as the facts of his life are concerned, the days that are mentioned relative to his life. Tomorrow night, Larry Oldham is going to be looking at the subject of Christ from the standpoint of prophecy. He will be looking more at the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning Christ and the fulfillments in the New Testament and how that helps us to believe in Christ. On Tuesday night, David Sweeney is going to be approaching the subject from the standpoint of our commitment to Christ. And certainly if we're going to seek Christ and follow him, we need to be committed to him. On Wednesday night, at this point, I plan to deal with the miracles of Christ, especially taking the book of John and looking at the specific miracles and showing the power that Jesus had, which ends in that book by saying that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, finish it. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. And so it seems to me that what he's talking about particularly there are the signs and the miracles in the book of John. I think there are about seven of them. And we will look at those on Wednesday night. And if we have time, I want to take about 5 minutes at the end and talk about the hands of Jesus, the different positions that his hands were at different times during his life. But tonight, in the first place, I want to ask you a question. I asked one this morning in the lesson that we had. Where have you put Jesus? And we concluded that we needed to put him up as Lord, we needed to put him in our lives, and we needed to put him on and wear him and have the right kind of influence. The question I want to ask you tonight is, do you know Jesus? Now, that's another one of those questions. It's very simple. And you might even think, why ask such a question? But we're seeking Jesus. If you're seeking somebody, you need to know him, know who he is, know what you're looking for. Do you know Jesus? If I were to ask people in general tonight, and Chester, I'm going to use you as a guinea pig, You look like you qualify. Now, don't ask me why. If I were to ask people tonight, do you know Chester Hill? I suspect I would get several answers. How many of you in here do not know Chester Hill? Okay. A few. You're not as notorious as you thought. You didn't hold up your hand, did you, Laura?
No.
Okay. Okay, if I ask the question, do you know Chester Hill? There are some people who would simply say what? No. I don't know him. Are there people in the world today who would answer that way relative to Christ? Are there people who've never heard about Christ? If you were to mention the name of Christ, they have no idea about whom you're speaking. And so there are people in the world today, if you were to ask the question, do you know Jesus, who would say no. There may be a few of you in the audience tonight, if I ask the question now, do you know Chester Hill, who would say I have heard of him? All of you in here have heard of him now, haven't you? All right. Are there people who would answer like that if you were to ask them, do you know Jesus? Well, I've heard of him. I've heard his name mentioned, which means they don't really know who he is, and they don't know anything about him, but they've heard him discussed. I suspect that people who are going to places like Russia now might get that answer from some people. Do you know Jesus? Well, I've heard of him. There's been mention made of him. But if a person says, I've heard of him, that means what? They don't know much about him, right? And they probably do not know about him what they really need to know. So again, if we ask the question, do you know someone? Someone might say, well, I used to know him. There's some people like that. I occasionally see someone that I hadn't seen in 10 or 15 years. There are some people today with whom I went to school at Freed Hardeman that I haven't seen since we graduated at Freed Hardeman back in 1900 and none of your business. Some of them, I don't know where they are. But if you were to ask me about a certain person that was in my class, I might say, well, I used to know him. Are there people today who could answer that way about Christ? In most communities today, there are as many people living in the community who at one time were faithful in their worship and service to Christ who are not now involved in worship and service to Christ. And so if you were to ask them, they might very well say, if truthful, I used to know him. We need to be concerned about those. If I ask if you know Chester Hill, there are some of you in here who might say, I know him when I see him. What does that mean? I know who he is, but I don't know what? Much about him. I don't know him very well. I know him when I see him. I've made that statement many times recently about different people as we would be discussing them. I know him when I see him, which means I recognize him physically, I recognize the reality of his existence, but I don't know much about him. But there are some tonight who might say, if you ask, well, I'm an acquaintance. What's an acquaintance? Is that as good as being a friend? Probably not. An acquaintance means you probably have spent a little time with the person, right? You may even know how tall he is and how he looks. You may know where he works. You may know a few facts about him, but you don't know much more. I'm an acquaintance of him. And folks, I'm afraid that there are too many people today who look at Christ like that. I'm acquainted with him. I know that he was born. I know that he lived. I know he's supposed to be my Savior. I'm sort of acquainted with the facts of his life, but I don't know him much more than that. There are two answers that if I were to ask tonight, and again using Chester as an example, that if you gave those answers, they would really be meaningful. You know Chester Hill? Oh, yes, he's my friend. Or he's my buddy. He's my co-worker. What does that say? got some kind of a pretty good relationship with him, right? I know him pretty well. I work with him. He's my friend. Does the Bible say that Jesus wants to be a friend? We sing what a friend we have in Jesus, and other songs that use that idea. And I think that is one of the descriptions of Jesus that is worth so much to us. He's a friend. If I ask you the question tonight, do you know Jesus? Could you say that he's a friend? If not, we need to really emphasize this idea of seeking Christ. If he's anything less than a friend, you need to really stop and think about your relationship or lack of relationship with Jesus. But then the one thing that I like to hear when people are asked the question, do you know someone, and really bring that over into our relationship to Christ, do you know Chester Hill? You know how Laura would answer that tonight? Yes, I'm related to him. Now, I've got her address if you want to send a sympathy card. She's married to him. There are those that are related to him by blood, right? Now tonight, if I ask you if you know Jesus and you say, I'm related to him, what does that mean? That means that you're married to him. That's one thing. It means that you're a brother or a sister to him, right? In another relationship. So that means that there is a close relationship. Now somewhere between that point of I don't know him and that point of I'm related to him is where all of us fit tonight. And I would hope that we fit in those last two categories. Do you know Jesus? Yes, he's my friend. Do you know Jesus? Yes, I'm related to him. And we need to know Jesus in that sense of being related to him because we have been born into the family where he is the elder brother, or we're married to him as the bridegroom, and also the fact that he is our friend, that there is a personal relationship. And when I use personal relationship, I don't mean something mysterious. I just mean a personal relationship with Jesus as our Savior through his word. That's the way we need to know Jesus. And I'll guarantee you, if you can say it and mean it, that I am related to Jesus, it will have an effect on every decision you make. I think it will even have an effect on the decisions you make as to where you are tomorrow night. And Tuesday night and Wednesday night during our vacation Bible school. And I know there are things beyond your control. I know it won't be possible for everyone. But I think if we really believe that we are related to Christ and that he is our friend, that we will want to. And that's the key. I'm not as concerned about you promising me that you'll be at any service or that you'll do anything in the Lord's service. What I wish you'd promise me is I want to. My desire is to serve God. My desire is to live for Christ. Because if we really want to, do we usually find a way to do most things that we desire to do? We usually find a way. Sometimes there are barriers that we can't control the situation, but most of the time, especially in our relationship to Christ, we find a way to do what we want to. And so the overall goal, as I see it during this vacation Bible school, is helping each one of us to have a closer relationship to Christ and really feel like we know Jesus based upon the teachings of the Bible, but that we know Jesus in a very personal way. One of the references that was used this morning was the one that Thomas said to Jesus in John chapter 20. You remember that one? And Jesus said, look at the prints of the nails in my hand and the spear in my side. What did Thomas say to Jesus? My Lord and my God. Now this morning we emphasized the word Lord, but tonight I want to emphasize the little word my. Thomas said what? My Lord. My Lord. And until you can get to the point of looking at Jesus as your Lord and your Savior and your God, in that passage he's referred to as God, then there is something lacking. Someone said that he believed in the death of Christ strongly enough that he believed that if he had been the only sinner, if this person had been the only sinner, that Jesus would have gladly died for him. And I think that's something to think about. We sometimes get caught up with the crowd and the group, and we think in terms of a group. But Jesus died for me, and he died for you. And I believe he loved me enough that he would have died for me if there had been nobody else that needed him. And I hope you can look at it in that same way. Any comments or thoughts from any of you? We've got a big spread out class. I like to have a class where people can ask a question or make a comment. If you have a real serious question, save it till just about time for the last bell. But if you have a question or a comment at any time, feel free to hold up your hand. Now, having given that as an introduction, okay, I asked for it. Go ahead. All right. All right, Chester. He's tired of hearing me talk. Get up here and lead us in, get up here and lead us in that song. What song? 125? 125. Great. Great. That's great. You know, that points out something. Somebody got a point out of what we were talking about, didn't he? Good. Go ahead and lead us.